So we're trying to, in a short and abbreviated fashion, trying to highlight the Sefer, especially Shaar Dalet of Nefesh HaChayim, and in particular to be attentive to the shifts. Very often, especially classic Svarim, it sounds like it's one long concept, and the ability to segment them and compartmentalize them helps you better understand them. So we saw one shift that occurred in Perek Yud. Before Perek Yud of Shaar Dalet, essentially the case for Talmud Torah was made in rational terms. Namely, Torah is superior to Yirat Shamayim, it's the content, Yirat Shamayim is the preservative. Shalei may move here, it's easier for me to scoot around. It's easier for me to stand. Sit this way. And not only that, but Torah is the access point to Yirat Shamayim. So as a person should spend as much time as possible learning Torah, and if you spend too much time in Yirat Shamayim, it's almost as if you're stealing time from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, stealing resources. Then in Perek Yud, we saw a shift. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite Ein Self trickles down to our world through a series of different worlds, but Torah is rooted in that upper world, the world that's on top of those four worlds, which is called the Or Ein Sof, or the world of Sod HaMalbush, in which speech starts to form out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite essence. And since Torah is rooted in that world, by studying Torah, you're essentially not just providing sustenance and vitality to the entire cosmic system, you're actually creating Hashemayim HaChadasha, HaChadashim Veretz HaChadasha. You're creating new realities because you're tapping into the source of the entire universe. Perek Tesvav, which is what we're up to now, is a third shift. In the previous Kabbalistic reason to study Torah, it's because Torah is rooted above all the worlds, and by studying Torah, you're clinging and you're introducing new Torah into this world that will revitalize the world and will expand the world. So your Torah has cosmic impact. Perek Tesvav, Perek Tezayin, Perek Yudzayin talks about the impact upon you. How does Torah affect you? Not just the world around you, the cosmos, Olamos, Elyonim. How does Torah affect you? So we would say in a rational world, because you get schar, because you know more about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, possibly schar not just in this world, but in the next world, not just schar because we have extra food and money, but schar mitzvah, mitzvah. Those are the classic ways we see the output or the impact of a mitzvah. But in Perek Tesvav, he begins, and I'll read you the first line. We don't have time to read every line. In Perek Tesvav, he begins, V'hine ha-mivarech misbarech. If you're the person who actively draws Torah into this world, you will receive a bracha. What type of bracha? So Perek Tesvav describes the brachos you'll receive in terms of the avoidance of all the trials of human experiences. Whatever afflicts human beings, you'll escape because effectively you're operating at a sphere and at a level beyond human experience because you're connecting to Torah, which isn't part of this cosmos. It's in fact something that it's the source of the cosmos. It supports the cosmos. So for example, he quotes the Gemara in Brachos Daf Hei Amud Aleph, a person who studies Torah, Yisurin bedelin minei, tribulations, persecutions, sufferings, that the common dreariness that affects humanity, you'll be bulletproof, you'll be immune. Yisurin bedelin minei. This isn't the classic schar, this is Kabbalistic schar. Why should Yisurin be distant from someone who studies Torah? It's not schar, it's not. Yisurin bedelin minei means naturally, since you're studying Torah, you're not part of the rules and guidelines which govern most of human experience, because you have transcended humanity. The Gemara in Erevin says, if you have a headache or a stomach ache, or for that matter, any part of your body that feels ill or any ailment, chash berosho, yasak b'tara. Chash b'chol gufo, yasak b'tara. Remember I told you last week, this was the famous Gemara that actually Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer quoted to Reb Chaim Mibrisk to prove that you have to study Torah, because you have to study Musa, because we all are someone who's ill. And if you're ill, you have to take extra measures. But in Reb Chaim Volozhin's concept, in his world of ideas, how can you heal a headache or heal a stomach ache or heal an infection by studying Torah? Because you're elevating yourself above the trials of human experience, and it's a metaphysical response and a metaphysical schar, not just you know more of the Dvar Hashem and you have more schar in Olam Haba, but you almost create a shell around yourself. Shell is a poor word. You elevate yourself to a higher level in which these areas are no longer afflicting because you're not living in the human realm. Perek Tezayin, the 16th Perek, doesn't talk about illnesses and ailments and suffering, but the day-to-day responsibilities of a human being. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that a Talmud Chacham is potter to pay taxes. He can claim, I'm providing superior protection for the city. I don't have to be taxed to provide an army and guardsmen, which is the source of where people believe today, if you're studying Torah, you don't have to serve in the army. The whole question about serving in the army the basic sources are more supportive of people that are learning full-time, not serving in the army. You can discuss it now, it's a different national reality, it's Pikuach Nefesh, it's Eretz Yisrael. But when that conversation begins, the conversation begins with the Gemara in Bava Basra, there are two or three areas in Shas, which says that a Talmid Chacham are patur from paying karga. Karga is a head tax, which is dedicated primarily to provide protection and military protection and security for the city. So the Gemara says that a Talmid Chacham provides his own form of security. The Mishnah in Avos, Paragimel Mishnah Hey, Ma'avir and Mimenu Ol Malchus V'Ol Derech Eretz. All these responsibilities of living in this world that you have to submit yourself to political authorities, Ol Malchus, Ol Derech Eretz, social norms, social responsibilities. This isn't suffering or sickness or ailments. These are just the parts of this world that weigh us down. Parts of this world that we bear as human beings. We have to conform to social norms. We have to heed political responsibilities. The Mishnah says, "Ma'avin mimenu ol malchus v'ol derech eretz." The Mishnah, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, "Kol ha'osik b'tora l'shma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu osa lo chefzo." Based on the pasuk, "Kubitaras Hashem chefzo, kimitaras Hashem chefzo, v'sarasor yega yamav v'layla," in the beginning of Tehillim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with your chafatzim, with your needs. You won't have to pay taxes. You won't have to be responsible to political forces. So Perek Tesvav spoke about the impact to study someone who studies Torah and avoiding ailments, suffering, trauma, tragedy, deviations from human experience. Perek Tezayin describes the impact of Torah in providing immunity and invulnerability, not to suffering and tragedy, but to the daily chores that everyone is responsible to bear. Political authority, taxes, the need to take care of my own matters. It's almost as if I get a free ticket. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will attend to my needs. Perek Yud Zayin speaks about the impact after you die. Now, we'll talk about after you die a bit later. This will come up in tomorrow's discussion, Perek Yud Ches through Perek Chaf Aleph. But here is one aspect that Rav Chaim addresses before he makes another subtle shift. Gehenim is not just reserved for people that are sinners, but our Chazal, again, we don't really know the details of the afterlife and the details of what happens in Shemayim, but Gehenim is seen as an experience that everyone goes through to purge, to cleanse you from your sins, to create a purer individual, pure neshama that can ascend to Shemayim. So the Gemara in Chagiga says, Talmud Chacham, ein or shel Gehenim shalit bohem. So it's not about a schar per se, but it's avoiding, just like you can avoid sicknesses and illnesses in this world, and just like you can avoid taxes and day-to-day human responsibilities and obligations in this world. Similarly, the, so to speak, rites of passage that everyone has to experience to make their way to Shemayim and Asad Lavo, or Shel Gehenna, not punishment. It's not as if you're avoiding Onesh. You're avoiding Gehenna, which is an experience. When we say Kaddish, in part it's because we believe that the Neshama is in some form of purging experience for 11 months. So therefore we say Kaddish in order to facilitate that process, to soften that process. So the Pasuk, the Gemara in Chagiga says, Ein or shel Gehenim shel eit poem. We say this every day in Perek Yotes. Perek Yotes of Tehillim is a perek which is roughly, it talks about a lot of issues, but the core speaks about Torah. Torah is Hashem Temimah, Meshivas Nefesh, Yedos Hashem Nemanah, Mechim is Fesi, Pekutei Hashem Yisharah, Mesam Chaleh, Mitzvah Hashem Barab, Mir Yosanayim, Mir Hashem Torah, Mir Yosanayim, seven or eight pesukim about Talmud Torah and mitzvahs. What's the pasuk preceding Taras Hashem Tamima, immediately preceding the phrase Ein Nistar Mechamaso? Taras Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nefesh. What does it mean Ein Nistar Mechamaso? So the Medrash says the Chama here refers to Gehenim, that no one can avoid Gehenim. Ein Nistar, no one can hide Mechamaso from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gehenim, which according to the Medrash is not really Gehenim, but it's Hashem blocking the atmospheric barrier to the sun. If you were to stand right in front of the sun, it'd be very hot. We have something called an atmosphere, which partially blocks the rays of the sun. So Hashem removes whatever blockages and barriers he created so that we're not incinerated by the sun, and then the Shemesh provides that type of heat that serves as a Gehenna. That's a Medrash in Tehillim, just so you should know what he refers to. So that Chama, that sun, is equivalent with Gehenna. And the Medrash says, Ein Nistar Mechamaso, no one can avoid Gehenna except for Taras Hashem to me, Meshivas Nefesh, Eidetz Hashem, Nemona, Mechim Espesi, Pekudei Hashem, Yerushar Mesam Chalev, Mitzvah Hashem, Barami, Yerasenayim. So these two Makaros, the Medrash and Tehillim, and the Gemara and Chagiga, describe the Talmud Chacham escaping Gehenim. Ein or shel Gehenim, sholeit bo. He quotes two other Pesukim in famous drushes, just because you'll know them and you'll hear them, so I want you to know what they refer to. One is the Gemara in Sota, which quotes a Pasuk in Mishlei. We say it at the end of our Tziyum, in Behis Halechacha, Tamche Osach, B'shach b'cha tishmor alecha, v'hakitzel sahi tisichecha. So this pasuk is actually three phrases. B'is alechacha, b'shachbecha, v'hakitzos. And normally, when we talk about phrases of the afterlife in Chazal, we have a duality. Arach yamim b'mina, b'smal lo shev v'chavot. Arach yamim mishnas chayim. It's always olam hazeh, olam haba. Here, there are three different stages. His halachacha, shachbecha, hakitzelsa. When you walk, when you lie, and when you wake up. So the Gemara in Sota, Daf Chaf Aleph, sees in this a parable for three different stages. Life, death, and afterlife. His halachacha is in this world. Shachbecha is in the kever. Hakitzelsa is the next world, when you wake up. So Torah will protect you, Pasuk and Mishlei, b'is halachacha tanchelscha, b'shachbecha tishmar alecha, b'kever, b'akitzelsa, when you wake up, le'olam haba, hitasichecha. So it doesn't talk about Gehenna, but it talks about olam haba, and he associates this with the Gemara that says, ein or shel Gehenna shalik ben. Then, of course, the famous Mishnah in Avos, Perek Vav, michtav elokim charis al haluchos, the words of Hashem were engraved on the luchos, famous Chazal, one of the most famous drashas, al tikri charis ela cheris, ein lecha ben charin, El Misha Osek Batara. The word charis should be read as charis. Ein lecha ben charin el Misha Osek Batara. And of course, the ben charin here is not just that you're freed from taxes or that you're freed from suffering ailments and illnesses, but you're freed from that eternal or posthumous Gehenna that everyone has to traverse in order to make it to Olam Haba. So Perek Tesvav, Tes Zayin, and Yud Zayin entails a shift. Not how my Torah impacts the universe, but how Torah impacts me in light of the fact that it's cosmological. Doesn't mean I learn Torah, I get schar. I learn Torah, I transcend and supersede human experience, and I'm buffered from illnesses and illnesses, the dreary toll of human experience, taxes, for example, as well as Arshel Gehenim. Tomorrow we'll see that even in your life, you're able to see the entire universe with the clarity that only Torah can provide. So namely, we'll see that Shmuel was a better physicist than Newton. Why was Shmuel a better physicist than Newton?
The paths of the stars are like the
right. Background. So we'll see how we got to acknowledge. Okay, so I just want you to sense the movement. It's very easy to just read this entire piece and sense it's one large block of Talmud Torah. There are pieces, there are stages in the Nefesh HaChayim, and the better that you're able to sense the shifts, on now these three prakim, he's describing this aspect. Okay? Have a good week, everyone.